Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
B. Mitch Finley, 1067 The Fan. David Aldridge is a journalist, a columnist for The Athletic. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. An incredibly accomplished person, born, raised, resides in Washington, D.C. Understands both through his professional career and also in his personal life what the Redskins football team Commanders mean to this city. And David Aldridge joins us now. D.A., what's up,
buddy? What up, Dave?
Gentlemen, what's happening? How are you?
We're good, brother. We're good, man.
You are of this city, sir. And B and I were talking this morning about everything going on with RFK. And we can talk about the draft and stuff, too. But I feel like the RFK conversation could be long and broad. So I'd rather just give it plenty of space. We were talking, and you texted us, like, let's talk about this. So I saw you Monday at the events and the rollout for this thing, and where are you at? How do you feel?
Well, look, let's get the obvious things on the table first. We all are in the sports world, right? All of us are involved in sports. Yep. We either played it or we cover it or whatever. So we're all invested in the Commanders being in D.C., right? Like, we all want that. Everybody wants that. I want it too. You know, and I have no problem saying that out front. I'd much rather drive up to the RFK site than drive out to Landover 10 or 12 times a year. It's closer for me. It's easier for me. There's a traffic question, which we can get to later on. But, you know, so we all want that. But I think it is – I would say it's To automatically think that people who have questions are like hating and are trying to be in or grandstanding or not, don't I think is a little unfair. And I've gotten some of that from people because I've written about this the last couple of days, who are saying that you're complaining about it or that you don't want this to happen or that you're standing in the way and what else has been there for the last 30 years. All of that aside, all of that, you can say all that, but I don't think you can just dismiss questions that people have about what is a massive public works project. Like, it's not, you're not building a Starbucks, okay? Like, it's not a Starbucks on the corner. It's 180 acres of land in the middle of a city. So there are questions, and people have the right to ask those questions while you still want the project to happen. And I still want the project to happen. But there are questions, and I think part of what I believe the role of a journalist is, and that's what I think I should be doing, is asking people like the mayor and Josh Harris, what are you going to do about the people that live in that neighborhood? You know, like, those are people, and their lives are going to be turned upside down if you drop a 65,000-seat stadium and a $3 billion development in the middle of their neighborhood. Ain't no neighborhoods around the wharf, fellas. Ain't no neighborhoods there. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So that's different. You can drop $2 billion in the wharf. You know, that's okay. There's nobody lives there. There's not a large population of people living in that part of D.C. There's some people live there. I used to live there myself. Lived there when I got out of college for several years. Liked it. There wasn't anything to buy. But there's not a whole bunch of neighborhoods right where the wharf is. There's a whole bunch of neighborhoods right where RFK is. So there are questions that have to be answered. And that's all I'm saying. And it's okay to want it. I want it too. Mm-hmm. But there are questions. And to say that there aren't any questions is not accurate.
But I understand that there are questions, Dave. But you know what? It's also some answers that are there that people will automatically ignore. So I understand, like, you know, I don't live there. But I used to go to the stadium all the time, and many people that were there before, they didn't have a problem with it. Now you got a lot of people that have moved in that are not from D.C. Mm-hmm. They've changed up the amount of what a house may cost there.
For sure.
But I still go back to that the permission to the city. If Congress voted 100-0, mm-hmm. and they specified as that first project stadium, yeah. it's something about that. To me, that I'm not letting go, because I believe if they did it, they made a deal with someone. And I believe it's going to be enforced upon if it doesn't happen the other way.
Well, I agree with you in a sense. I do agree with you that there's no way that you would get Republican congressmen to sign off on something to empower the district government, because they can't stand the district government. If there wasn't some hoped upon quid pro quo in place, right? Like, mm-hmm. I get that. That's certainly the case. Now, what that is, we don't know. Like, is that you want to name something after somebody? All right, you know, like, we can talk about that. You may not want to do it, but to get the thing done, you may have to do it, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Those are things. But to me, it's like, whatever Congress wants to do, or whatever reasoning Congress had to give the land back to D.C., it doesn't really matter, because now the land is in D.C.'s hands and they can do what they want to do with it. And they still have to answer, again, the issues that people are bringing up, whether it's the amount of money that D.C.'s putting into it, or the services, or the things like that. It's not hating to say, wait a minute, you got to hold these people accountable for the promises they're making. Mm-hmm. You know, I just came back from Detroit. I was in Detroit last week for the Pistons-Knicks playoff game. And I was at the Little Caesars Arena there. It was a really nice building. It's been there for the last 7 or 8 years, where the Pistons play now. And so all the four major sports teams all play within half a mile of each other. You guys have been there. You know, mm-hmm. Ford Field is there. And Comerica Park's across the street from Ford Field, and then right up the road from that is Little Caesars Arena, where the Pistons and the Red Wings play. And so on game nights, it's great. It's great. It's you know, 200 nights a year minimum between the baseball and the basketball and the hockey and the football. There's 200 nights a year, or 200 days a year, where there's something going on at one of those arenas, right? One of those three buildings, mm-hmm. something's going on. And it's great. You know, there's people in downtown, and they're spending money and all that sort of thing. But there's nothing else there. There's nothing else there. And part of what they promised the people of Detroit was, we're going to have all these jobs, we're going to have all these houses, we're going to have all this entertainment district here, and this place is going to pay for itself. And it ain't there. It's not there. And so, you know, and it's been several years since Little Caesars Arena opened. And it's been several years since Ford Field opened. It's been several years since Comerica Park opened. And Ellen, people ain't gotten the jobs or the housing they were promised. And so all I'm saying is,
well, DA, just
you have to make sure that people live up to the promises that they say they're going to keep. That's all.
I agree with that.
I agree with
wholeheartedly.
That.
And here's what I've tried to tell people that have acted like I'm not willing. Certainly there's questions, and there are politicians that are actually interested in getting to a better deal. They're doing their job. I think some of them aren't interested in that. They're just interested in saying no. But I hear you on the Detroit thing. I think Detroit's got its own unique situation. Wouldn't you say that Nats Park is a tremendous success for the city, and they spent – They paid all the money to build that thing. It wasn't a large private investment.
And that's why I hold the Lerner family accountable for every move that they make because they got a stadium for free. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's why I say, okay, what are you doing to make this team better to win championships when the city paid for your stadium? And that's why I say that all the time when I write about the Nets. What are you doing? You got a stadium for free. Okay. Right. So that is exactly right. You know, and Nats Park certainly was a catalyst in that redevelopment. It was not the only catalyst. As I try to point out to people, Homeland Security being there was a much bigger catalyst because they got 10,000 people in that building every day. Okay, 365, 24/7. There's 10,000 people in Homeland Security and the surrounding parts of that organization out there. So that was part of it too, you know. So that all of that, they work together. It's good to have synergy, right? And so that's why it's great. And I think it's you know, you have to have more than just a stadium at RFK. So if they're building out, you know, businesses and all that sort of thing and restaurants and hotels, good, because you have to have more troughs. You have to have more buckets than just the stadium's going to be open. Mm-hmm. You know, the stadium, they're going to be events at the stadium. By the way, ain't no way there's going to be 200 events a year at the stadium. That's a pipe dream. That's
so. I don't know how that number got twisted because I mean, you and I were at the breakfast. They said 20 to 30 major events.
Well, they said up to 200. But in the paperwork,
I think that must
200.
Be.
It must be
when they have a kids.
They're talking about the, I think they're talking about the kids events when they have the thing over there for the kids and all that. That in that area,
okay, but that ain't in the stadium. That's not drawing no revenue. That's what I'm talking about. Like you got, that's what I'm talking about. You got to hold people accountable to what they said, and they said our goal is to have up to 200 events a year at this complex. Now, if there's another part of the complex they're going to have these events at, they need to be
need to specify that. But I tell you, like when I did 7-on-7 over there, it was 80 mm-hmm. teams. Okay.
Yeah,
and that was one event,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and you may have a lot of that stuff because the fields are not going anywhere.
Right. I get it. Now, if they're going to do another, if they're going to do more events over at the fields, and they're building this $89 million facility for cheerleaders and for indoor track and for volleyball and all those places where the kids don't have anywhere else to go, they have to go out into Maryland, Virginia to compete. That's great. And that will help as well because that will bring more people into that part of town. And maybe they go to while their kids are at the event or they're getting ready for the event, maybe they go get something to eat.
Well, and DA, one thing I'm thinking about, and this would not to the people that this matters to, they would say it's a major event. And this matters to you. This is mm-hmm. something near and dear to your heart. Yep. But the WCAC, the Washington Catholic Area Conference, they play their football championship every year in Annapolis. Right. God bless Navy Stadium, but bang, like that's at whatever RFK becomes. Like I think there's a lot of, you're not getting 50,000 people to all of these things, but if you played last year, I just looked it up. Last year, the championship in the WCAC was DeMatha Good Counsel.
Right.
You're getting 8,000, 11,000 people down there.
I'm not. It's not about how many people you get there. You can get 40,000. Whatever the number is the number. It's okay. It's okay if it's 8,000, by the way. I'm not saying you have to sell it out. I'm not saying that. You want to count that as an event? Great. That's fine. I'm not. There's only 4 months to the football season.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the football games, most of those football weekends are going to be Commanders weekends or major college football. Army-Navy games are going to be there? Great. That would be awesome. Be awesome if you had the Army-Navy game there. But you only have 16 Saturdays or Sundays to play football during the football season. And half of those are going to be Commanders games. So you're only talking about 8 to 10 additional football games. It's just, all I'm saying is it's not going to be anywhere close to 200. Okay.
And that number of 200, I don't agree with that number of 200 in the actual stadium. I don't think any stadium does 200 events a year.
How many events do they have in Jerry World? It's not 200. I'm telling you, maybe it's 140.
It might be 200
maybe,
in the whole complex, but it won't be 200 in that one stadium.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you there. Look, here's where I land. I've been pretty clear that I'm a supporter of this, right?
Yeah, me too. I want it to happen too, guys.
I think are there questions? Absolutely. Are there good people with the right Like, I think this D.C. Councilor Parker, I thought he tweeted something out that he's, like, not quite a yes yet, but supports it and recognizes that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to rebuild this thing, but has some questions that he wants to walk through. Like, I think that is an entirely reasonable stance, right?
Okay,
And I think reasonable people can hear each other, listen to each other, and try to move forward towards something.
I think there's
a lot of people that aren't being reasonable, probably on both sides, but certainly on the opposition side.
I mean, I would say this. Look, Councilman Parker is Ward 5. That's where I grew up, Northeast D.C. So I know exactly. You know, I know that ward because I grew up in that ward, all right? And he literally said, here are the things I need to get to yes. I need this, this, and this. And if you give me these three things, I say, I'll vote yes. I can support this. He literally tweeted it out.
Yeah.
So he didn't say no. He said, here's what I need, right?
Yeah.
Mendelsohn has not said, I will absolutely not support this under any circumstances. What he said was, the mayor needed to come to us first. She didn't come to us. She needs to be more transparent. I can't okay $1 billion. He didn't say, I can't okay no dollars. He said, I can't okay $1 billion, right? So there's a number. Find out what the number is, all right? And so that is negotiating. That's making the deal better, just like Linda Kropp made the Nats Park deal better by being a no until that money, the amount of money that MLB put toward the project went up and the amount of money that DC put toward the project went down. And that's what they're there for, is to make the deal better. That's what McDuffie said the other day. I'm going to try to make this deal better for the people in DC. You know, because again, look, I understand that Josh Harris does not have to solve the problems of a city. I'm not saying that that's his job. But what I'm saying is, if you live in Ward 7, they have two grocery stores in the entire ward,
right?
Two. And Ward 8 has one, okay? And Ward 3, where the rich folks live in this town, and it's okay to be rich. It's fine to be rich. I'm happy you're rich. They got 11, okay? So those are the types of things. If you live in Ward 7, you're like, well, wait a minute. Why are we putting all this money toward a stadium that I can't afford to get into, right? That I can't buy a ticket for because it's personal seat licenses. No way I can get in the stadium. And, okay, maybe I can go to the restaurant down the street and eat, you know, but I live in Ward 7. You know,
don't
make the money that you make in Ward 3. So all I'm saying, guys, is that it's not disingenuous for somebody who lives in Ward 7 or Ward 8 to say, wait a minute, maybe there's other things we can spend this public money on than helping the Commanders build a stadium. That's not disingenuous for them to have that position.
I don't think it's disingenuous, but then I would ask the question, where the hell have those people been spending this money before all this? I mean, they've had money to spend, and if they want to build it up, they would have. So I ask those questions too. Like
okay, but,
I hear
but
a lot
B,
of talk
you know
about
this.
Some, but I'm okay, saying but B, like someone
right,
is coming
ahead,
to do something now,
right?
And
okay.
Now we say, well, we could do this, this, and this. Why not? Why haven't it been done?
Okay, but again, Brian, the people who live in Ward 7 and Ward 8 don't have the political clout that the people who live in Ward 3 have. That's just reality.
D.A., I hear
like,
that, but with,
you know
within
like,
six blocks of our office, there's a Harris Teeter and a Whole Foods, and none of that stuff was here before Nats Park.
Y'all are down at the Navy Yard.
None of that was here before Nats Park.
But they, I understand that, but it wasn't just Nats Park, and where they built the wharf out, there's no people there. There's no neighborhood where they built the wharf. It's a wharf. It's not populated, surrounded by people who live in houses and apartments. Okay? There's no people there. It's easy to drop $2 billion where there's no people.
But
okay?
I specific to the grocery store thing, if they're building, like, I mean, the current plans, and obviously these plans will get updated and changed. But the current plans call for a ton of housing. They're gonna don't you? The way this stuff goes is it's mixed use retail. It's a grocery store on the first floor with apartments above it. Like I think that will be a boon to the people that live there.
I
just think as this pushes further east, maybe that will help Ward 8 also.
It could. I'm not saying not saying it couldn't. What I'm saying is again, this is why I keep going back to the Detroit example. They made the exact same promises in Detroit. They said, we're going to have housing, and a good chunk of it is going to be affordable housing for people who make a certain percentage or lower of the average salary of Detroit. Now, I'm not accusing the people of D.C. of this, but what they did in Detroit was part of how they determined what the average salary of the people was by including the rich suburbs right outside the city. You have real well-to-do suburbs where people are making a lot more money. You add that into the mix, and all of a sudden the average salary goes way up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is that that's part of holding people accountable, guys. That's why I'm saying I'm for this deal, but you have to hold people accountable. To your point, JP, they said 5,000 to 6,000 houses and affordable housing, 30% of which is going to be affordable housing. You have to make sure that they actually do that.
Sure.
Right? And so that's why I'm like, that's where I need to see the details. How are you going to enforce this? How are you going to make sure that you do what you say you're going to do? That's not hating. That is trying to get people to live up to the promises that they're making on this. That's all.
Yep. DA, it's a great conversation.
I agree with that.
Thank you for reaching out. And, dude, accountability is key, obviously.
On both sides.
Yes. Yeah. And again, I want there to be a Commander Stadium on the RFK footprint. Want it very badly. Just for selfish purposes alone, for my own purposes, it will be a lot easier for me.
Thank you, D.A.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Yep.
That's our guy, David Aldridge. Give him a follow at David Aldridge DC. I wanted to have that conversation. I feel like those are the appropriate types of conversations to actually move this thing forward, to continue onward. Now, when we return, we're actually going to talk some puck. Steve Wino's not going to blow us off like Rooster did. Game 5 preview.